I'm Dr. Brian Goldman, host of the CBC podcast, The Dose. Each week, we answer vital health questions that will help you thrive, like, what does my mental health have to do with my gut? How can I prevent melanoma? How much sleep do I really need? And how can I manage my health without a family doctor? I chat with the top experts to bring you the latest evidence in plain language, all in about 20 minutes. Find The Dose on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
I'm Ian Hanna-Mansing. Welcome to Checkup's Ask Me Anything podcast. And today it's our AMA about sports betting and Jonte Porter.
Jonte Porter is now banned from the league for life following an investigation into suspected sports betting.
He's accused of manipulating his own performance and tipping off bettors.
We go to games live because the outcome ultimately is not predetermined or fixed. And when that comes into question, it undermines the very integrity of the game.
It's a case of trying to beat the odds by manipulating the game. Earlier this week, the NBA banned Toronto Raptors player Jonte Porter from the league following an investigation into gambling allegations. That investigation found that Porter gave information to a bettor to improve that bettor's odds and wagered on games himself, even betting against the Raptors, though not in games where he actually played. We brought in two AMA guests to dive into the topic, and that's the focus of this week's Ask Me Anything. CBC News reporter Jamie Strachan has been leading our coverage on sports betting and closely following the Jonte Porter story. And Chelsea Rodriguez is a problem gambling counselor at the Center for Problem Gambling and Digital Dependency at Hotel Dieu Grace Healthcare. They answered questions about sports betting and Jonte Porter, and here are a few highlights from the show. Jamie and Chelsea, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Jamie, let's start with you. For people who haven't been following the NBA story really closely, give us a brief summary of what happened in the Jonte Porter story.
Well, there's really kind of two things that ended with this lifetime ban, Ian. Beginning about a month ago, Jonte Porter was suspended when there was some irregularities around some betting in games involving his individual performance on things known as player prop bets, where gamblers can wager on individual achievements a player may get during a game. For instance, will Jonte Porter get more than 3.5 points, more than 3.5 rebounds, more than 4 assists? These bets are available for almost every player in the NBA on any given night. And what was initially alleged was that, you know, he played a couple of minutes in two separate games and took himself out of those games, basically guaranteeing that everyone who bet the under there would win because he wasn't in the game long enough to achieve any of those, you know, individual goals that were set. That kind of cued off the investigation a little deeper. And when the NBA eventually banned him for life, it was revealed that not only was he providing this information, but he himself had a sportsbook account at a well-known sportsbook where he had wagered over $70,000 on 13 different NBA games. As you alluded to in the intro, some of those games did involve the Toronto Raptors, although he was not a member of the team at the time. And on a couple of occasions, he actually bet on the Raptors to lose. So it was those two things taken together that led to the NBA, giving obviously the ultimate sentence here, which is a ban for life. It should be noted that the NBA has banned, you know, nearly 24 players over the course of its history, but this is the first time a player was ever banned for gambling.
Jamie, I'm old enough. I think we're old enough to remember a time when sports leagues were so fearful of gambling, and the fear was that a player would, and the phrase that was used, you know, would throw a game, which is kind of tough for a player to do in a team sport. Easier, for example, in boxing for an athlete to determine the outcome just on his or her own. But now with these prop bets that you're talking about, where you can bet on, as you say, whether a player is going to be in the game for more than 2 minutes, that seems so easy for an individual to manipulate. Is there any sense, do you as a reporter who kind of covers this as part of your areas of interest, any sense of how widespread a problem this is?
Well, this is the first time that most fixes or most games that have been manipulated, you know, in the history, and there's been a number of them, have been around the result of the game. Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? Usually involving the point spread, which is how many points a team is favored to win or lose a game by. This is the first time that we've ever seen, it involved these player prop bets, which are a relatively new thing in the world of gambling. They've been around for a few years, but a relatively new thing. And, you know, if you just watch this, you know, one of the games in question, well, you know, all a player did was pull himself out of the game. You know, when a player says to a coach, "Hey, I'm injured," you know, the coach accepts that player at his word and he's out of the game. So I think the NBA and I think U.S. college sports especially are concerned about these prop bets. I think you're going to see some movement, especially at the college level, because there's such young kids who aren't really making any money that could be more easily influenced. But I think there's a concern around these prop bets, especially the ones being offered around kind of peripheral players like Jontay Porter. I mean, this was a guy who was 10th or 11th man on a 12-man roster, had been kind of bouncing back and forth between the G League, which is the NBA's, you know, kind of development league, and the NBA. He was earning a very good salary compared to, you know, most Canadians, but in the scope of professional sports was not earning a lot. And I think, you know, the fact that there's bets being offered on some of these peripheral players and that you can, you know, that you can bet as much as you want on them is reason for concern. I think one thing that should be noted here, Ian, that's important in this regulated space, it was the fact that someone made an $80,000 bet on Porter's individual statistics that was set to pay out $1 million that queued off suspicion. The sports book reported it to the league and the investigation ensued and we ended up with the ban. So I think that's an important note here, is that within the regulated space, it's come with a lot of other things that I'm sure you'll get to later in the program, or like around advertising and stuff. But in this case, it flagged a suspicious bet and Porter was caught.
Our other expert here on the Ask Me Anything is Chelsea Rodriguez, a problem gambling counselor at the Center for Problem Gambling and Digital Dependency at the Hotel Dieu Grace Healthcare in Windsor, Ontario. Chelsea, you have been counseling people dealing with gambling for about a decade now. And I just wonder, with single game betting, with prop bets, with relentless advertising, have you seen a change just in terms of what you see in your practice?
Yes, definitely. So even before this, we were already seeing a lot more sports gambling happening. But what has happened now is this process of normalization and accessibility, right? So with those two aspects, you inevitably will see an increase in the rates of addiction. What I'm seeing the most, it just must be noted, is the so many more new gamblers this year. So people that hadn't really partook in this before, but they're seeing everybody else do it now, and it's happening in, you know, the lunchrooms and at work and among different peer groups. So that's one thing that we have definitely noticed, is just the amount of new gamblers, new sports gamblers.
We reached out to the Canadian Gaming Association. It's an organization that advocates for operators in sports betting, esports, and the lottery industry. And we asked them, what measures does the industry have in place to help prevent problematic sports betting? Here's part of the response. I'll just read it now. Canada's gaming industry uses a wide array of integrated measures to support and disseminate information to enable players to make informed decisions and encourage safe play. Operators must prominently promote and make available tools to support responsible play, including time and loss limits, and put out responsible gaming advertising to promote responsible gambling tools. Chelsea, what do you think of that?
Well, I believe that there needs to be more attention paid, because I feel as though the RGC messages and the responsible gambling messages are not necessarily proportionate to the level of advertisement, normalization, and accessibility. I always think there's room for improvement. And I mean, it's a very complicated matter, right? Because at the end of the day, there is a purpose to push this. There is a purpose to garner more gamblers, and it is a business at the end of the day. That being said, from my perspective, there's definitely room for improvement to increase the awareness that this can be very damaging to certain individuals, and that gambling addiction has a very much a ripple effect on everyone around the gambler.
Hey, my name's Jamie Poisson, and I'm the host of Front Burner. It's the CBC's daily news podcast. And every day, we're discussing the big events and fault lines shaping Canada and the world. Politics, economics, social movements, you name it. Sometimes we even talk about really fun stuff, like the enduring relevance of Lord of the Rings. You can hear Front Burner on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kyle LaRuzic is calling from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Oh, not too bad. Just beautiful. Sun is finally shining here on the East Coast, so happy to see that.
Yeah, because I know you've had an unusual winter and spring and haven't had a lot of nice weather. Is it warm on the island today?
It's not too bad. When the sun hits you the right way, it's pretty good. Okay. You know, I like to say it's not the cold that gets you, it's the wind. So when the sun is shining, it's good, and when it's not so much. So
yeah, I can relate to that, Kyle. What's your question? What's your question about sports and sports gambling?
Yeah, no, I just had a question there. So with the rise of regulated sports betting, a lot of people who watch sports but don't gamble are starting to look at this as problems. You know, saying regulated gambling can cause issues like this. Now it's going to be the downfall of sports. But I kind of see it as I was just wondering if with the Jontay Porter case, if FanDuel used this kind of as an example that regulated sports betting can actually help prevent things like this and help catch them quick. Because, for instance, with FanDuel, they were able to have an investigator on the scene. They were able to see irregular patterns of the gambling, and they were able to catch it so quickly. I just want to know if you saw the NBA using this as an example to show that regular space sporting does work.
Yeah, that's a really good and interesting question, Kyle. Thank you very much. Jamie, why don't I put that to you? To what extent do you think the fact that the industry is regulated now, out of the shadows, made at least this case quicker in terms of being able to deal with it? And maybe generally, it'll be easier to uncover gambling problems.
Yeah, I think definitely in the Jontay Porter case, Ian, that you know, this part of regulation did work. Like I said, it was flagged and then it queued off the investigation. And Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, said, you know what, we need to come out and you know, re-examine, you know, all these different bets that are being offered. But we have to also remember, it was Adam Silver who was also the first of the four major sports leagues, the NBA in North America, the NBA, Major League Baseball, you know, the NHL and the NFL, to come out and ask for, you know, legalized and regulated betting. This is something that the leagues wanted. They pushed hard for it, and now there's gambling is legal in most U.S. states, and they have deep relationships with them, direct relationships with the sports books. The teams themselves have direct relationships with the casinos and the sports books. Even in some arenas and stadiums, there's betting parlors that are set up. So you have this very now intertwined relationship that exists. And I think, sure, people can say that, you know, in this case, regulation did work, but that's just one part of the regulation, of the things that's come with regulation. I mean, all the other things we've seen is that gambling has now become very much of how sports are presented, both in person and on TV. And I think that's going to be a very hard thing to put back in the bag. I think you'll see some tweaks. I think you'll see some rule changes. But I think this new way that we watch and consume sports with gambling front and center, I think is here to stay.
So Chelsea, let me ask you the question that I've said that I'm very interested in. Based on what you see in your practice as a counselor, what are the signs that would tell family members or even people who have the problem themselves that they have gone from gambling as a hobby to gambling as a problem?
What a great question. And I think it's important that the more people that know about this, the better. So there are several signs, some of them easier to spot than others. And it's true that sometimes, you know, the family member and the friends might spot a problem before the person themselves, or that the person themselves is really ready to confront it and admit it to themselves. So first thing I think of, especially when it comes to sports gambling, is this obsession with checking their phone, even in really inappropriate times, to check scores. So if you're at a family family gathering, but you or something where, you know, it's not really quite the time to be scrolling the phone, and you sneak away, or you're really checked out, or you're feeling really disconnected from the experience because your mind is elsewhere on that money that you have placed on that game that's happening right now, that would be a sign that that could be a problem. Anytime you are spending more money that you're not okay losing completely is sort of the hallmark of any gambling addiction. So you have to be able to say that the amount of money I'm placing on this game, if it's completely gone, I am completely fine. I can make my bills. There is no issues. I am at peace with that. Anytime you're lying, minimizing your losses, maximizing or exaggerating your wins, or only talking about your wins. Anytime you feel like you have this an illusion of over the fact that you think you have any control over the game, that can also be a problem. Anytime that you're missing work or having any sort of disruption to your day-to-day life, or it becomes an argument between you and your loved ones, that's also maybe a telltale sign. There's a number of them. And I just encourage anybody who's curious about their own behaviors, or if you're curious about someone that is close to you, to give us a call, because we are more than happy to talk about this. And we are a free service available to anybody in Canada, Ontario. So feel free to talk to us and ask us and run some things by us. We're happy to help.
We have 3 minutes left now in our Ask Me Anything. And look who's called us up from Montreal. Erica Wiebe, Canadian Olympic wrestler. Hi, Erica.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you very much for calling. Unfortunately, I only have 3 minutes left and there's nothing I can do to change that. But let me ask you what you'd like to say on this topic.
Yeah, I mean, sports betting, it's obviously kind of taken Canada by storm. It's hard not to watch sports these days on the TV and not see advertising. Mm-hmm. But I think what people don't realize is, like, there's so many millions of dollars being bet on sport in Canada, but none of that money is actually being reinvested into sport. And it's really difficult right now because there's a lot of work that needs to be done in educating athletes, in safeguarding athletes, and in protecting the integrity of sport as it relates to sports betting and competition manipulation. And we know that there's lots of education at the professional level, but not at the local or amateur level. And it's a really big issue right now. And I think for people to continue to think about, like, advocating for sports betting revenues to be reinvested into sport.
Mm-hmm. You know, it seems to me, but you tell me, Erica, that Olympic athletes, NCAA athletes, Canadian junior hockey players, those are three areas where you have, you know, elite athletes who are generating lots of revenues, especially NCAA and Olympics, and aren't necessarily seeing that in their pockets. And I feel like that could make those athletes really vulnerable to gambling pressures. But what's your view on that?
Oh, 100%. I mean, the demographics of individuals that are potentially more likely to have gambling addiction and are the same, like, demographics of athletes that we see. And, you know, a lot of work needs to be done on protecting athletes. We know, like, the precarity of athlete finances, mm-hmm. how hard it is to be an Olympic athlete in Canada today. And, you know, the revenues are being earned by sports betting associations. We're seeing a couple athletes being involved in advertisements, mm-hmm. but I think it's creating a really problematic, like, ecosystem in Canada. And it's just great to hear the work being done on raising awareness about gambling addiction. But I think, you know, more revenues need to be reinvested into the sports system to safeguard athletes, to protect the integrity of sport. And, you know, I was at an event actually around a symposium on competition manipulation last year, and the sports vendor said, you know, the betting is the product. And it's like, no, the athletes are the product. Like, sport has mm-hmm. so much to give to society, and I think we need to really rethink how we do these things.
Erica Wiebe, a Canadian Olympian, a real privilege to have you on the program. Thanks for calling in. And next time, don't call us so close to the end of the show so we can spend more time with you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Only time for about 20 seconds from each of you. But how about a 20-second last word, Chelsea Rodriguez, from you?
Yeah, I'd just like to say to everyone that though this has become normalized and accessible, it doesn't necessarily have to be integrated into everybody's sports watching experience. And if you have any questions or concerns about yourself or anyone close to you, please give us a call because help is there.
All right. Thank you very much. And Jamie Strachan, you're going to be filing for the National tonight, right?
Yeah, just a last word, and I'm not offering any picks or winners to anybody out there, but one small piece of advice that I would give is that you see the most commonly advertised thing that we're seeing right now during games is in-game betting on results as they're happening. These are the biggest hold bets for sportsbooks, the ones that they win the most money from. I would be very wary, people out there, of these bets. These are not places where you should be betting your money on games that have already started.
Jamie Strachan, CBC reporter, who's filing on an entirely different and actually very important story on the National tonight. Thanks to both you and Chelsea Rodriguez. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a portion of Cross Country Checkup's AMA about sports betting. Jamie Strachan is a CBC News reporter, and Chelsea Rodriguez is a problem gambling counselor at the Center for Problem Gambling and Digital Dependency at Hotel Dieu Grace Healthcare. If you'd like to listen to the full 2-hour edition of Cross Country Checkup, you can stream the podcast on the CBC Listen app. And if you'd like to share comments or appear on a future show, go to cbc.ca/aircheck. I'm Ian Hanemansing. Thanks for listening. The next live edition of Checkup airs on CBC Radio, CBC News Network, and CBC News Explorer next Sunday.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.